Michelle Ryan joins us from DadCap, Consumer Protection Topics for this month of December. Here we are into the last month of the year. How can it be, Michelle?
I have no idea how we got here, but it sure has been a great year and moved very quickly, that's for sure.
The bad people don't take a month off for the holidays because they want to, they don't want to scam somebody and feel bad about it, do they?
No, they don't take any time off. They actually try and take advantage of us when we are taking time off and kind of let our guards down, or when we're super busy, this hustle and bustle of the holiday season, because maybe we'll just miss something in our quickness to move on to the next item. So they do their best to take advantage.
The first topic that you want to discuss this month, cryptocurrency kiosks. Can you update us on that?
Yeah, so many consumers have probably seen a cryptocurrency kiosk, also called a cryptocurrency ATM or a BTM. These are in gas stations, grocery stores, and other retail stores and businesses. But the big question is, what are these devices and what are they used for, and why do scammers ask consumers to use them? And I'm sure people haven't really thought about those questions. So we want to go through them this month. And similar to standard ATMs, cryptocurrency kiosks are used to make financial transactions. What's different is that these kiosks are not used to access a bank account. They're used to buy and send cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin or Ethereum. And data from the Iowa Department of Justice and the District of Columbia Attorney General's Office suggests that over 90% of transactions made through these kiosks were tied to fraud. And the FBI reported almost 11,000 complaints about scams involving cryptocurrency kiosks in 2024, which is a 90% increase over 2023. And we've often said how if someone asks you to pay by cryptocurrency, it's a scam. Well, we have the data now to back that up. 90% of those transactions made through these kiosks have been tied to fraud.
Wow. And still people keep using them, Michelle.
Absolutely. Scammers are impersonating a bank, government agency, or trusted business, which instructs consumers to withdraw cash for their bank account, deposit it into a cryptocurrency kiosk, and then send it to a specific account. They sometimes do this by sending the consumer a QR code, which can be scanned at the kiosk, and then they may claim the account the consumer is sending money to actually belongs to the consumer. But as soon as the consumer deposits that money, it's gone, sent directly into that scammer's wallet. So cryptocurrency is commonly used by scammers because it is difficult for law enforcement to trace and recover. Timing really is of the essence in these cases, and a lot of consumers don't realize what's happened until it's too late.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Pet sale scams. I guess I wasn't aware, but a lot of people must at least locate pets online. Is that correct?
Yes, they do. And, pets, kittens, puppies, other pets, they're really popular holiday gifts for family, children, and loved ones. And so scammers try and take advantage of this heightened time when people are trying to add a family member to the household. And so if a consumer finds a listing on social media for a pet, practice caution while browsing and before buying. If a listing has been posted by a scammer, it will likely appear to be local at first, but after the scammer is contacted about the pet, they tell that consumer that the pet has been moved or has already been sold, making it impossible for them to see the animal in person. So then the scammer offers the consumer an alternative. An associate of theirs is also selling pets, and may even have the exact same or similar animal for sale. And so the scammer claims to be selling purebred puppies or other rare, valuable pets for low prices. That can be a red flag. However, usually the seller is far away and they cannot be easily visited, which is one of the things we really want consumers to do. All of this is really just a lie to try and get the consumer to feel confident that they're dealing with a legitimate person and that the animal truly exists. And we really want consumers to use caution when buying a pet online, or they're asked to pay money and continually pay money for a pet they cannot see in person, or really get for the original price they may seem posted, that there's all sorts of additional reasons why they have to pay more.
How often do pet scams occur? Is that something that happens a lot?
Yeah, well, recently the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau reported that pet scam complaints have declined slightly in the past couple of years, but it still remains a real concern because over 1,600 pet scam reports were being filed across North America this last year with a median loss of $600. So significant money for an individual scam.
So the best thing that I would say is go to a local shelter. There are a lot of animals out there that need adoption, right?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to a local rescue or a local shelter, a humane society, in order to check things out and get a pet that way. But if you're ever dealing online, you know, ask for the name and location of the pet's veterinarian, and then you can verify that information and contact them directly. Remember that photos and videos can be faked and should not be taken as proof that an animal is real. And try to see that pet in person before buying. Avoid paying upfront, even a deposit for any pet. And then pick the pet up at a place where the seller keeps the animals so you can check things out. Don't agree to just convenient pickup points or parking lots. And then research that seller to confirm that they treat their animals well and have all the necessary registrations and licensing.
Another subject is usually, you know, puppy mills. People talk about that all the time, about animals, you know, and that's another subject, isn't it?
Yes, and some of these tips can definitely help combat that as far as your selection goes as well, by going there in person rather than meeting at a convenient location and checking out that seller and talking with that veterinarian.
Websites overcharging for public forms and documents. I don't know if we've talked about this for a while, Michelle.
No, we haven't, and we've seen quite a bit of it. Consumers and businesses who need to complete or renew paperwork or have something else they plan to submit to a government agency may encounter this clever scheme, which is really meant to overcharge them for filling out the necessary forms and documents. These can include driver's license renewals, business licenses, application for government benefits or programs, tax filings, and, you know, just about anything that you would need to file with the government to make a payment. Some companies really do offer assistance with filling paperwork out, but they charge users for access to forms. They charge to submit the forms or for help completing them. And those may dishonestly claim these fees are charged by the government agency, but in reality, that these could be completed on your own, whether it's the application or transaction, it could be at a much lower cost or often for free. And you can usually go to a service center to get assistance if you need it. So you need to be mindful to be sure you're at a true government website as opposed to a business website about government forms.
Sometimes when you're contacted, though, it looks really legitimate, doesn't it?
Yes, sometimes these messages appear to come from government organizations. They often contain instructions on how to use a website with a similar but slightly different address compared to that real government agency. So think a .com versus a .gov, using the same beginning portion of a website. So you need to look at that very closely. It's important you go directly to that real government agency's website to complete that paperwork and confirm what fees are required. Again, in most cases, companies that overcharge for helping with this paperwork aren't providing a significant or important service. They're just trying to take advantage of people. So providing a payment or account information to a company who does not need it could also place your business or you as an individual at risk of identity theft.
Another, example would be Social Security. You know, they would not charge you for some of those forms, would they?
Right, absolutely. We see this with imposter sites with Social Security, TSA, those driver's license, your passport, you know, lots of things we've heard from consumers about over the course of the year. So it's definitely spiking up, and you need to pay attention that we're at the correct web address.
FTC tools helping consumers plan for scams. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is a positive thing. And I know many people just got together with friends and family over the short holiday weekend, and they could be coming into a period of time where they may get together for longer periods of time. The Federal Trade Commission is offering a new How I'll Avoid a Scam, My Action Plan tool to help individuals and family avoid falling victim to a scam. So we hope while they're gathered during the holiday season that everyone takes a few minutes during the celebration to create their own anti-scam action plan for maybe older loved ones in the family as well as for the family as a whole. We know scammers tell lots of different stories to try and get money and personal information from us. And they say a consumer owes the government money, pretends to be a bank or trusted business, or claims a family member had an emergency. And their goal is to get a consumer to panic and rush into action before they pause, think, and confirm the story is real. But having resources readily available can really help us prevent scams when we are targeted. This FTC new action plan tool can be used to create a list of trusted people and businesses, as well as their contact information. So when consumers encounter something that may be a scam, they can refer to their action plan and reach out to the people they trust more for help, advice, and verification of those possible scammers' claims. And remembering that talking about a situation is one of the most effective ways for consumers to realize it's a scam. And in a case of a business or government organization being impersonated by the scammer, having that real contact information readily available can really help consumers confirm whether a message or request they received is real. You'll take that minute to confirm, and that could be enough of a pause right there to realize the whole thing is just a scam.
I think of the elderly in cases like this who often, unfortunately, get scammed quite a bit. And caretakers, you know, need to be aware of these things and to help them out in this cause, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this tool truly reminds me of way back in the day when, you know, you watched younger children in the household and you had emergency contact numbers magneted on the fridge when the parents went away. Well, this is that same tool for all of us to use, so we have that information readily available so we stop and think through and confirm information before we act. And we can order free blank copies of the action plan at ftc.gov to post on that refrigerator and keep near our phones and computers, and we hope people will share it with their loved ones and their community groups.
Looking back on the year, this is your 12th time you've joined us for your monthly visit, Michelle, but what was the top biggest complaint this year with DadCap? Do you recall?
Well, I don't know. We'll unveil that in February because we'll crunch the data for sure. You know, there's just been a lot of top scams this year with local and state and federal government agencies being impersonated. That has been a real driver, and we really appreciate consumers always letting us know. And I will say one thing that definitely sticks out from the year is when we all received the toll, the fake toll text message, where I feel like it hit every telephone in Wisconsin at the same time. The bells were ringing at that point in time.
Well, bad. And then there was some jury duty things that were a scam, too, I believe, too, weren't there?
Absolutely. We saw new twists on the jury duty scam this year. Not only did we see that come through on our phones, but then they were directing us to websites to make payments and hand over personal information. So a lot of new twists and variations to some oldie but goodies circulating our state this year.
Well, we appreciate your expertise, and hopefully along the way this year, maybe we kept somebody out of a jam, right?
Yes, I certainly hope so. And I hope that anyone who also got into a jam shared their story, because they likely helped someone else stay out of that same jam. So Please contact Consumer Protection with your information and stories so we can share them. And you can reach the hotline at 800-422-7128 or file that complaint online at datcp.wi.gov.
Well, Michelle, we always feel privileged to have you on our morning show. So thank you very much, and we will talk to you in the new year.
That sounds great. Happy holidays.
Michelle Ryan and joining us from DadCap here on this portion of the morning show.